listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Let's get started today. We're going to be continuing or ending our series on the four cups. And so we've been talking about the four cups for a couple of weeks now. We're going to finish it up today. And next week, I'm going to start a new series, a very short series based around relationships. I believe that relationships are part of the key to our Christian walk. If we don't have good relationships, we're really going to struggle in life. And so we're going to start a very short series called From the Bedroom to the Boardroom. And so what's that? Oh, y'all are looking at me funny already. That's good. So next week, we're going to start off and we're going to be talking about from the bedroom to the boardroom. We're going to take relationships from the house all the way to work. And I believe those are two areas we don't always talk about. We like to talk about relationships in church. Don't gossip, smile, hug your friend and your neighbor. We like to talk about relationships, you know, with your buddies. But what about the relationship with your boss that you can't stand? Come on. Right? What about the relationship with your wife or your husband that nobody knows about? See, we all see the smiles in here, but what about whenever you get home and it's a different story? And so we're going to talk about from the bedroom to the boardroom starting next week, so you can get ready for that one. But today we're going to continue on with the four cups, and we're on cup number four. Before we get started, let me tell you a little parable. I've heard somebody preach this as true. And then I've seen other people say it's not true. I did my own research. I couldn't find the truth in it, so I'm going to call it a parable today. There's a parable about two young men. They were part of a family of 18 children. Now, that part is true. That's a lot of kids. I'm going to tell you right now, I struggle with three sometimes. 18? No. Wouldn't happen. So they've got 18 kids. They've got a football team going here. And so they're very poor. Obviously, 18 kids, you're going to be poor. And the dad, he was a goldsmith. He didn't own the gold. He just worked on the gold. And so that's what he was. So he had this kind of artistic ability to him. And so that's what the dad was. But there was two boys that kind of had a bent towards art. And they kind of took after their dad. And these two boys wanted to both go to art school or training or whatever. And this is back in the, 1500s. And so they wanted to go off and be trained and be skilled in art. The problem was the family just didn't have the money to do it. So the two boys made a pact with each other. They said, here's what we're going to do. One of us is going to go to art school. The other one of us is going to work in the coal mines to support the one that's going to art school. Then, whenever the other one gets out of art school, he'll work to support me, you know, the other guy, to go to art school. So they flipped a coin to decide, because that's the most godly way to do things, and they flipped a coin to decide who was going where. And so the one brother ended up going to the art school, and the other brother went to the coal mines. Today we're going to be talking about fulfillment, and part of what we're going to be talking about today is serving other people, because I truly believe that fulfillment really comes in serving others.
That's right.
And there's going to be times when you're going to be asked to go in the coal mine for somebody else.
Right.
Today, I'm going to challenge you to be willing to go down in the coal mine so somebody else can get their life fulfilled. I'm going to challenge you today to be willing to do the work necessary so that somebody else can receive a blessing. See, we always think if I work real hard, I'm getting the blessing. I'm going to tell you something today. You can work real hard and somebody else get that blessing, and that's okay. That's okay. So we're going to talk about that today. Think about the word fulfillment with me this morning. To me, the word fulfillment is very redundant, right? Because it's full, fill. That's like saying, I just went and ran a marathon, and now I feel run-ran. It's very redundant. It's like I've done it all. When you think about being full, filled, it's kind of just really overly filled, in my opinion. How many of y'all have ever been overly filled? Yeah, some of y'all are lying too. We went on this little vacationette, I should say. And you know how it is when you go on vacation. You throw, you know, all of your convictions to the wind. Maybe not all of them. You throw all of your food convictions. That didn't sound good at all. Sound like we just did some bad stuff. You throw all of your food convictions to the wind, man. You go on vacation, it's like, man, it's okay. I can eat whatever I want because I'm on vacation. When I get back, I'll be back on track, right? But so we go on vacation, man. We go to this steakhouse one night. And now you got to understand, I've been fasting this may not sound like much to you. I've been fasting a meal a day for 21 days. A meal a day doesn't sound bad. Everybody thinks I can do that. But do you see me? There ain't much meat on these bones, folks. So when you take one meal a day, I mean, you may as well just be starving me. So whenever the fast is over, we go to this steakhouse, and baby, I am hungry. I'm more than hungry. I'm hungry. You know what I mean? And so I eat this big, juicy steak. And it came with a big old bowl of grits. And Perry kept on trying to get my grits. I about stabbed her in the hand. I ate my grits. I ate my grits so much I know that was my fault, but I'm going to blame y'all for it anyway. I had to turn my grits up like this, and I'm scraping grits out to eat the grits. And then whenever I got done with my steak and grits, then we went out, and Pastor Marcus and I, being probably the two hungriest people I know, we're walking down the strip, and we see big old caramel-covered, chocolate-covered apples. Y'all like those? I do. Ooh-wee, I love those. And so I said, give me one of those apples, and I'm going to take a few little chocolates with it. And so I get all that stuff, and we take it back to the room, man. I've got it cut up. I'm eating it. I'm just munching down. I grab a few chips. I'm eating those chips. And then another thing I've been fasting is soft drinks. I haven't been drinking soft drinks. And so we had, someone had bought some IBC root beers, and so I grabbed me one of those, and I knocked that bad boy out. Now, my stomach has already been full, right? I mean, I'm looking semi-pregnant. I'm about 3 months pregnant at this point. And so I've got all this food in my belly, and then I take the soft drink, and I drink the soft drink. Well, you know what soft drinks do. They're full of carbonation. I felt like I was about to die. Like, I drank all that soft drink, and I went downstairs and got in bed, and I just, you know, it was like when it all started digesting, I just felt just sweat just pouring off of me. I was filled. I was already full, and then I filled it up some more. I was filled. That was so dumb, but y'all laugh at it anyway. I love you people. The point is, in life, we want to be fulfilled. Nobody wants to go through life and just be kind of happy. Right? We don't want to go to a job and just have a little bit of fun, have a little bit of enjoyment. We want to be overly filled with satisfaction in everything that we do. And so today we're going to be talking about being fulfilled. As a matter of fact, fulfillment is a desire. Last week we talked about the desire of people to want to belong to something. Today I want to tell you there's a desire in people to be fulfilled in life. And that's why you see the suicide rate is so high. Why? Because so many people struggle to be fulfilled. Even Christians struggle to be fulfilled. That's why the divorce rate in the church is just as high as the divorce rate outside of the church. Because people don't understand fulfillment. They don't understand where they can get fulfillment. And they think if I get married, I will be fulfilled. Yeah. And that's just not the case. So there's three areas that people, again, doing my little mini studies, three areas that people always want to be fulfilled in. You don't have to write these down yet. But one is in contribution. People want to know, does what I do matter? This is what I do matter in life. Man, I'm just a waitress at the Waffle House. Does that matter to anybody? I'm just a preacher. Does that matter? Am I making a difference? Am I doing something to give back? People want to know that what they do matters. People also want to know, do I belong to anything? They want a sense of community. They want to belong to somebody or something. That's very, very important. It's funny, last week when I was preaching about belonging to things, I told you guys that when I was in school, you know, I was not cool, right? Which means I was picked on. And I got shoved down to the end of the table at the lunchroom, and I had to sit with all the thugs and the gangsters, is what I said last week. But I became friends with them, and they protected me all through school, except for the one that picked me up and carried me like a baby that one time, but we're not going to talk about that. But it was funny, last week they were talking, Pastor Shane and Keith were telling me about Zach, their oldest son, was in here last week, and Keisa was saying, yeah, he was even asking questions about the stuff you were preaching. I said, oh, yeah, like what? And she was like, yeah, he asked what a gangster was. I was like, man, I'm never going to fulfill my ability to preach if that's the only thing people are getting out of it. People want to know they belong to something. The last thing people want to know is celebration. They want a sense of celebration. They want a sense of hey, this is fun. Right? I enjoy what I do. I may be a garbage man, but I receive joy out of being a garbage man. That's what they want. If you don't have a good sense of contribution, community, and celebration, you are not going to feel fulfilled. You're just not going to do it. You need all three of those things operating in your life. And so if you would turn to Jeremiah 29:11, and we're going to go into the Word and find out what God says about our fulfillment. This is a verse people quote all the time, and that's good. We need to know it. See, I believe that God has a desire for your fulfillment. We always think God has a desire for His fulfillment, and I'm sure He does. But God has a desire for your fulfillment. God looks at you every day when you wake up, and God wants you to feel fulfilled. God wants you to feel satisfied. God wants you to feel like you have a purpose in life. God wants you today to leave this place knowing that you're on the right track. That's what God wants for you. And the Bible says it like this. I believe God's got four things for our fulfillment. Number one, He's got a purpose for us, and that purpose helps us to feel fulfilled. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Listen to this. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That word future there means an end. I think whenever I read it, I think future means when I'm 60. Future means when I'm 70, right? God's got a hope for my retirement. I told the guys today, there's a good chance in this economy I will never retire. Y'all will be pulling this microphone off of my cold, dead body. One of us will be preaching. That's it. And then I retired. And so the thing is, God has a purpose for your life, and He's got a purpose for your future. That word future there means end. He's got a future. I mean, He's got a plan for your end, for the end of your life, for the fulfillment of your life. A movie is not fulfilled in the middle. It's fulfilled where? Right before the credits, at the end. And nowadays, they got this new thing out where it's not even fulfilled at the end. It's fulfilled in the middle of the credits. I hate going to movies nowadays because you sit there, you watch a movie, words start rolling on the screen, you're like, all right, it's time to go. And then as you're leaving, all of a sudden, boom, another scene pops up and you run back in and you sit down. And then the words start rolling up again. You're all right, now obviously it's time to go. So you get back up and you start walking around. Boom, another scene pops up. I've been in them. They got three or four scenes at the end. I'm thinking, just put all those in the movie. Anyways, I digress. So God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for your fulfillment. Not just your life, for your fulfillment. He's got a purpose for your end today. The second thing God's got is He's got a process you need to go through. Dennis, you and I were talking about this. Dennis and Chris are going to be leaving us. This is their last Sunday, so if you want to get in all your hugs and kisses, do that with Dennis and Chris today. But Dennis and Chris are going to be going to really help. We've got a friend of ours, a mutual friend, and he's got a church in Pinson and a church in Moody, and he can't handle it all. And Dennis and I know this very much because we know how he handles any of his churches. And I know he's got his hands full. So Dennis is going to go on staff with him, and he's going to be helping head up the Moody Church. And I think that's going to be a blessing for Dennis and Chris. Give those guys a hand. But God's got a process for us. Look at Exodus chapter 6. And this is the key verse that we've been using this whole series. But Exodus chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you up from under the yoke of the Egyptians. We said that was the first cup, remember? We said that in the Jewish Passover, they drink four cups of wine throughout their meal. The first cup is the cup of salvation, and they drink that cup of wine, and they quote this verse. They say, I am the Lord, I will bring you up out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And then they drink the second cup, and they quote this verse, I will free you from being slaves to them. And we said that that's the cup of deliverance, that God doesn't want to just get you out of Egypt. He wants to get Egypt out of you. That just because you get saved doesn't mean you quit sinning. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you know everything that you need to know. There's a process called discipleship that God wants to put you through to get your mind straight. Look, there's plenty of people that come to church, give their heart to God. And then the next week, they give their heart to God. And then the next week, they give their heart to God. Why? Because they're stuck at the first cup. They need some discipleship, some deliverance to get them out of the rut that they've been in. They've left Egypt, but they still act like slaves. And so we said that's the second cup. Then it says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm with the mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. That's the third cup. the cup of redemption. And we said that the cup of redemption was all about relationship, that there are very few places in the Bible where the word redeem actually means personal relationship. And this is one of them. That God says, I want to make you my people. I want to give you something to belong to. And we said that on that third cup, that's really a lot of where church comes into play, that it's important for you to be a part of a church, of a community, of a group of people that are moving one direction. God wants you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. You know, I've seen this a lot. I'm sure Pastor Jones has seen this way, way more than I have, but we've seen these folks that get saved, they get delivered, they're on fire for God, but then they bounce around from church to church to church to church. Why? Because they've got no sense of belonging. They don't. They want to look for the next spiritual high instead of digging in and getting with the group of people and sticking with it. That's the third cup. God wants you. What is this? What are we doing? It's a process. We're going from salvation to deliverance to now redemption or fulfillment. I mean, redemption, where we're getting to be along with another group of people. Verse 8, though, this is where we're going to talk about the fourth cup today. It says, I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. The cup today is the cup of fulfillment. It's when God fulfills the promise that he has for you, when he fulfills the purpose he has for you. And whenever you look at this, we said that God's got a purpose for your life and a purpose for your end, a purpose for your fulfillment, but he's also got a process. See, God doesn't just take somebody off the street and all of a sudden let them drink out of the cup of fulfillment. He takes them off the street. He gives them the cup of salvation. And he walks them through every cup. Why? Because it's important that you understand there is a process to your Christianity. Yep. Amen. The Bible says this, whenever the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, the Bible says that God didn't take them the short route to the promised land. He took them the long route to bypass certain things. Why? Because he knew they couldn't handle certain things. So he had to take them a different path. There's some of you today, you're sitting there and you're saying, but I got saved last week and I'm ready to quit doing all this stuff I used to do. I'm tired of drinking and smoking and sleeping around, but why do I still have all those urges? Why do I still fall into that? You fall into that because you're only drinking from the first cup. Baby, you need to move on to the second cup. Let's get some deliverance happening. Some of y'all, you've made it to the second cup. You say, man, I'm a part of a small group. I'm learning. I'm growing in my faith. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. But there's something missing. I've got this sense of loneliness. You need the third cup. And some of you get to the third cup and you're a part of a church, but you just sit there like a bump on a log. You don't do nothing but sit in church. You raise your hands, you clap, you do your thing, and then you leave. God's saying there's got to be something else for you. Fulfillment. Right? There's something else for you. So there's a process that we've got to go through. I like to look at the life of David. He's my favorite person in the Bible. One cool thing about David is when David became king, God didn't just drop the kingdom on him, right? He anointed him, but then all of a sudden David has to be, he's got to kill a giant. He's got to run for his life. The king that's already there hates his guts and is trying to kill him. The Bible says that David is living in ditches and caves and he's hiding out. He's kind of, he has to pretend like he's crazy just to survive in enemy territory. David goes through this whole long process before he becomes king. But did you know that under David's rule, the kingdom never worshiped foreign gods? Did David have problems? Sure he did, we all do, but under his rule, under his leadership, the kingdom always served God. Then comes his son, Solomon, who had literally the kingdom dropped in his lap. No process whatsoever, just boom, you're the king. What happens to Solomon? He does good for a little while, then all of a sudden he starts falling away, the kingdom turns over to other gods. What's the difference? David went through a process and it made him a better person. Some of y'all are in the middle of a process today and you don't like it and it's not fun because you feel like I've got to live in a cave or a ditch. I'm surrounded by a bunch of negative, drugged out people. I need some help, right? But God says you're in a process. You're in a process. I've got to teach you some things to get you where I need you to be. The third thing that God wants to do for you today is he wants to prepare you. He wants to prepare you. Look, if God were to fulfill everything in your life today, you wouldn't be prepared for it, and you would end up losing it all. That's why I don't like the lottery, right? Because it always happens this way. The people that win the lottery were dirt poor before they won the lottery for a reason, not because they lost a job. They were dirt poor because they didn't know how to handle money. And then they win dollars. I promise I'm going to fix that in a minute. Then they win millions of dollars, and all of a sudden they squander it or end up killing people or killing each other. Why? Because they don't know how to handle it. They haven't been prepared to handle money. God doesn't want to drop stuff on you right now because you're not ready for it. I like the story of David again, where he goes to kill the giant. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says, the king says, are you ready to kill this giant? I mean, you're a kid. I don't think you can handle it. What does David do? David says, bro, I've already killed a lion and a bear. If I can kill a lion and a bear, this giant's nothing. I can handle a giant. Why? Because God had already prepared David for that next stage in his life. So some of you may be going through a process today. You may be going through some hard times, and you're saying, I don't like this. But remember, God is preparing you for something else. He's preparing you for something else. The fourth thing that God wants to do for you today is he wants to give you power. I love this one. I like this one because we can also stay in Exodus and look at chapter 31. I really like this verse. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. God wants to give you power by his Holy Spirit to do some really simple things. Yes, you heard me correctly. He wants you to do some really simple things, but with power. A toothbrush is a simple instrument. But whenever you get one of those motorized toothbrushes, right? That thing really knocks the plaque off. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are like, what in the world? It's all about power. Listen to this verse. Then the Lord says to Moses, verse 1, see, I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him. Listen, this is awesome. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, that's pretty powerful. With wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. If you stop right there, you're going to think, this dude is a powerhouse. He's been filled with the Spirit of God, wisdom, understanding, skills, knowledge, all this stuff. And you're thinking, okay, now what's next? Why did God fill him with that power and that wisdom, all that stuff? Did he do that so that this guy could go and move a mountain? Did he do that so this guy could go and lead millions of people? Did he do that so this guy could get up and preach the Word of God boldly? No. Verse 4 says, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Now, at that point, I'd be saying, God, really? I mean, you're giving me all this power, all this spirit, all this wisdom to do what? To draw pictures? To make crafts? To cut on wood? What is God saying? God's saying there is no job that's small in my kingdom. I don't care what it is that you do. I want to empower you by the Holy Spirit to do it for my glory. Jamie's good at taking pictures. She probably has never prayed, Holy Spirit, fill me up today so that when I take pictures, I do it with wisdom and understanding so that I can be the best photographer in the world. She probably never prayed that, have you? You probably need to start. Right? Look, man, I'm not the best speaker in the world. I'm not the best communicator. But it is what it is. This is the only tool I've got. I can't sing. Lord knows I can't sing. When y'all see me up here dancing around with the microphone, I've got it turned off. Because so accidentally you won't hear something and leave the church. I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't do any of that stuff. I got a little bit of ability to speak. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that today you empower my words, that they do something. So we need the Holy Spirit. There's no little jobs. As a matter of fact, if you looked at Acts chapter 6, the Bible does the same thing in the New Testament. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, we got a problem in the church. In the early church, these guys are trying to preach the word, but they don't have time to study. And so what do they need? They need somebody to take all the little tasks of the church, like waiting on tables and serving food. But I find it so interesting that there is a prerequisite for being a food server. Beverly has a team of people that serve you food every Sunday morning. And Beverly, there's a prerequisite here. Look at this. Verse 2 says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. The prerequisite in the first church for them to walk around and hand out hugs and kisses was for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
What is that saying? That's saying there's no little job in the kingdom of God. That's saying God wants you to be fulfilled. And you may be saying, I can't be fulfilled if all I do is this. Man, I can't get up and preach. I can't get up and lead worship. How am I ever going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God? I'm just a cop, Jeter. That's all I do. I just arrest people or chase people. I don't know if you're actually making arrests or not, but you're probably for real chasing them. That's all I do. God, what? God's saying, there's no little job. I can fill you with the Holy Spirit to have power and wisdom and understanding to go find those criminals and arrest them and bring them in and witness to them in the car and get them saved in the car so they don't go back out and do it again, right? And so the Holy Spirit says, I've got a desire to fulfill you in every little thing you do. Here at Gateway, we've got a desire to do the same thing. Our goal is to fit in God's plan. It's not to fit in Gabriel's plan. It's to fit in God's plan and fit in the process that God's working out in every one of our lives. And our goal is to be able to enable you to do that. So one of the things we do here is this. We take off our shirts. Don't worry, this isn't something I learned on my vacation where I let all my conviction slide. We have the dream team. And I am a part of the dream team here at Gateway. That's why I got a shirt. I'm a part of the dream team. And you know what my dream team job is? My dream team job is not to preach. This is what I get paid to do. I get paid to preach and lead. Dream team job is not what I get paid to do. It's what I volunteer to do. You know what my dream team job is? Every Sunday morning, I try and show up by 7 o'clock. Sometimes I'm a little late, like today. See all these pipes and drapes set up? Me and Pastor Marcus, we walk around. We set up all the pipes. That's our dream team job. Other people come behind us, they set up the curtains. Then you know what I do? Then I go and I make sure that we have a lot of the nursery stuff ready to go back to the back. Then the next thing I do is I get a rubber glove. This is not the fun part of my dream team job, necessarily. Put that rubber glove on, I get me some Lysol wipes, I get me some air freshener, and I go through every toilet in the place and I wipe down all the toilets, right? Sometimes I find little surprises and gifts for me. As a matter of fact, today somebody had decided, huh? Let me just tell this one story. It's funny. It's not the worst one. Okay, thanks. I'll preach over here. Today when I went in the bathroom, somebody had decided to do some wall art, some finger painting. I'll let you decide what that means. Guess who cleaned that up? But you know what? When I was in there cleaning up that wall art, as lovely as it was, I'm scrubbing the wall. And I just thought, man, what if somebody walked into this place today and wasn't serving God? What if they walked into the bathroom, they had to go real bad, they go back there, and they look at the wall, and they see that wall art, and they say, you know what? I'm never coming back here again, because I don't want that touching me. I'm that way. Then I've just lost somebody. Before they ever had a chance to hear the word of God. That's my dream team job. I ask God, God, help me today. Whenever I go back there and I clean those toilets, the whole time I'm thinking, God, this is for your purposes, not mine. I'm doing this for you, not for me. I'm doing this because I want somebody to get saved. And people that get saved will come back, or people will show up at church because we have a clean bathroom. The PlayStation, as lovely as it is, employs a lot of teenagers. One of our teenagers, as a matter of fact. And a teenager's version of clean is not the same as my version of clean.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Someone's got to do it. The point is, we've got a process. Our process is we want to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be. That's our goal. So we do things like salvation. Our Sunday morning services, it's all about salvation. I want you to get saved. I don't do a lot of stuff on Sunday morning besides salvation. After that, then we want you to get discipled. We want you to get in a small group. After that, we want you to belong to us. We want you to be a part of our church. So we do this thing called the growth track. As a matter of fact, today we start the growth track with 101. I'm teaching that class today. So if you want to learn about the church today, if you want to be a member of the church today, you are more than welcome to show up. I'll feed you lunch for free. I'll take care of your kids, and I will teach you about Gateway Family Church. I'll tell you all about how we started. I'll tell you all about where we're going. I'll tell you about my own life if you want to have some questions about it. But today, that's what we're going to do. And we start the growth track. We do 101 about the church, 201, it's all about living for God, 301, Wendy teaches that one, and it's all about discovering your passions and your gifts and your personality. It's the most fun class we do. And then 401 is called the Dream Team class. It is also an excellent class because at that class you get donuts, which are my favorite thing in the world to eat. We give you donuts and we plug you straight into the church. You get to be involved right away. Why do we do that, Gabriel? Because it's a process. For me, fulfillment is getting you where God wants you. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied if someone gets saved. I'm going to tell you today, I want people to get saved today. I hope someone in this room, within the sound of my voice, is not serving God. And I hope that today, by the end of this sermon, you will give your heart to Jesus Christ. That is my Amen. Purpose for Sunday morning, but I'm not satisfied with that.
That's right.
I'm not satisfied with you going through the growth track. I'm not satisfied with you going to a small group. I'm satisfied when you get one of these t-shirts right here.
That's right.
Because what does that tell me? That says, Gabriel, you've done everything you can to get this person through the process to get to the fourth cup of fulfillment. That's my goal. That's when I'm satisfied. That's when I win. That's when I'm the happiest. What does it mean for us to be a part of the dream team? What does it mean? I'm about to close down in just a second. If you look at John chapter 13, and I'm about to shut up. John chapter 13, the Bible says this. Jesus is telling us what fulfillment really is in the kingdom of God. Fulfillment isn't getting up and preaching. Fulfillment isn't leading a great congregation. He says this. Jesus shows up and he washes the disciples' feet. The Bible says he puts on a towel. He gets down. He begins to wash the disciples' feet. He has a whole argument with Peter because Peter's always stupid. And he gets done with the argument and he says this. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He says, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." What does it mean to be blessed? You will be fulfilled. You will be satisfied. You will have what you need if you learn to do these things. What was he talking about? Was he talking about preaching? No. Was he talking about laying hands on the sick? No. He was talking about serving. Today, you want to find fulfillment in your life? You want to know what God wants to do through you? You want to operate in the most power that you can? Learn how to serve. Learn how to do the worst possible thing for some of us is wash feet. You learn to do that, man. You learn to scrub a toilet. You learn to change a diaper in the nursery. You learn to shake people's hands out front. You may be a little bit, germophobic. You learn to do it for Christ. And God will begin to fulfill your life. He'll begin to bring the process to a close for you. Whenever you're a part of our dream team, there's three things you get. You get contribution. We said this before, the three things we all need. Being a part of the dream team gives you contribution. It gives you a sense of knowing that what I do matters. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Don't grow weary in doing good." He says, "You know that the labor that you put forth, the things that you do, aren't in vain. They're unto the Lord." It's not in vain. You may look at yourself and you say, "Man, why am I setting up chairs every Sunday morning? I'm not doing anything. All I'm doing is setting up chairs." Yeah, but people that get saved have sat in those chairs. You're saying, all I'm doing is singing a song. But you sing it really good, Christina. It was my favorite song, by the way. I like that one. And what you did today may open up the door for somebody to give their heart to Jesus Christ. The next thing that we want to do for you is we want to give you a sense of community. Romans 12:5 says that we belong to one another. Sense of community. You've got to understand that whenever you become a part of a team, it gives you purpose. It gives you encouragement. There's some of you sitting out there right now. You say, "I don't have any relationships. I don't have any friends in this church. I don't know what to do." Look, either join a small group or be a part of the dream team. Show up here and do something. I love John Hall. I don't know where John is right now. He's probably right back in the back. John's one of my buddies, one of my favorite people. John's wife died not too long ago, maybe what, a little more than a month ago. His wife passed away suddenly. I see John at the funeral. He's crying. I'm hugging him. John says, "Pastor, I want to get more involved. I just want to do more." Now, if you don't know John, John's already been working for us. I mean, John shows up and does all. But all of a sudden, he wants to do more. You know what? I started seeing John show up at Saturday morning prayer. All of a sudden, John starts showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning. John's in here setting up chairs. John's a part of the Hardy Boys. You know, the Hardy Boys is a group that Gerald and Greg have that they set up all this stuff, and then they go to Hardy's, and have breakfast and then come back. So I call them the Hardy Boys. That's one of my favorite. They're like a small group slash dream team all in one. They just do it all. So now John's one of the Hardy Boys. He gets in here, he serves, he helps. He shows up on Wednesdays and serves and helps. I mean, this cat is doing it all. He even said, look, I'm already serving and helping, but I haven't done the process that you guys want me to do, so I'll show up at the growth track. One week he showed up at growth track. He was the only one there, but he sat in there. He did the growth track. What am I saying? I'm saying this is important. It's building community. All of a sudden, John's got a team. He's got a group of people that he can love on and can love on him. And when John struggles, he's got some guys that he knows will hold him up. It's important for you to be a part of a team. The last thing is a celebration. And listen, here's the cool thing about celebration. Luke chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. The Bible tells us about the lost son. And it says, when the son was out and he was all messed up, living in the world, he ended up running out of money. He's living in a pig pen. He's eating pig food. He's covered in pig mess and mud. He comes home, and when he comes home, the father sees him from a long ways off. And the father goes running to him and hugs him and accepts him and says, you're still my son, and I love you. And he kisses him. Doesn't say he cleaned him up, right? It's the first cup. You don't have to be clean to be accepted. You don't have to be clean to get saved. God accepts you messy and dirty. He doesn't care. Then what does the father say? The father calls out to the servants. He says, y'all come clean my boy up for me. Someone come wash him off, get him some new clothes, some new shoes, put a ring on his finger. Right? Deliverance. Clean that boy up. And then the father says, someone go kill the fatted calf. He's a part of my family. He says, you're still my son, because the boy says, dad, I don't have to be your son anymore. I'll just be a slave. He says, that's foolish talk. You're my people. You're a part of this family. Third cup. And the last thing the father says in verses 21 and 22, he says, hey, let's have a celebration. He gets all the servants together and they have a big party, a big celebration. Why? Because the son had come home. The son had completed the process, and they find joy in that. There's another word for this cup besides the cup of fulfillment, and that is the cup of praise and celebration. Why? Because the fulfillment has come. We finished the process. It's amazing. It's a party. Can I tell you something today, folks? I get so excited. Not when I preach a good sermon, because sometimes I don't. I go home, Perry will tell you, I'm very critical of myself. I don't get excited about that. I get excited whenever Connie tells me how many people are going through growth track. I get excited when Marcus says, man, we had five new people get on the dream team today, or we had one new person get on the dream team. That pumps me up, and that gives me joy. That's why I love today. We came up to the dream team meeting, and whenever we were in the dream team meeting, Pastor Marcus read a card that we had gotten from a lady. She came to church first time, and she says, from the parking lot to the chairs, I felt loved by people. I felt loved by people. That's a testimony to our dream team. You know what that lady did that day? When we said the prayer of salvation, she raised her hand. She filled out a card. Why? Because she felt loved from the parking lot where John was helping her park her car, all the way inside where somebody was helping her find a seat. She felt love, and she said, I want a part of that love. She gave her heart to Jesus Christ. That gives me fulfillment today. That's a reason to celebrate. Amen? Let me finish today and close this out with some prayer. Here's the thing you need to know today. It's a process. And if you want fulfillment, you need to start the process. Maybe you say, Gabriel, I don't go to this church. I go to another church. I'm just visiting. That's cool. Get involved and plugged in at your church. Don't sit on the chairs and do nothing. Do something. Find a place to serve. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you power to serve in that area, to give you purpose, to see souls saved. Amen? But here's the last thing I want to say is this. Remember the coal miner and the artist? The rest of the story goes like this. The one brother goes to the coal mine. The other brother goes to art school. The art school brother gets out in about 4 or 5 years. throws a big party celebration. He says, I want everybody to come over to the house. We're going to celebrate the fact that I graduated. He invites his brother. He puts his brother at the place of honor. And he says, I want to thank my brother because of him going to the coal mines, I was able to finish art school and I've even sold a few paintings. He said, and now I am willing to do whatever it takes. If it means go to the coal mines myself or if it means to give up my career right now, I'm willing to put everything on pause so that my brother can go to art school. Brother stops him saying, no, 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 no. He says, the coal mine has broken me down. He said, I've broken every bone in my hands and fingers at least one time, if not more. And he showed his hands. Now I've got a broken finger here, and I've got a bump on it. Call it my lumpy finger. And all of his were like that, just gnarled and mangled. He said, I've got arthritis in my hands now, and I can't even hold a paintbrush. I couldn't hold a pencil to make it work. He says, you continue your career. You sell paintings. You get fulfilled and satisfied. And that'll bring me joy. That's all I want from you. Is you continue to do what you're doing. And that gives me joy. He says, because I would gladly go back into the coal mines for you. Can I tell you, we serve a Christ today that was glad to go to the coal mines for you. We serve a Jesus today that said, I'll leave everything I've got and I will go to earth. I will suffer a terrible death. I will go down in the ground just for you so that you can be fulfilled. But you know what? It's not enough today for you to show up at church. That doesn't fulfill Christ's sacrifice that he made. If the artist had just painted one picture and quit, the brother would have wasted his years in the coal mine. You showing up at church doesn't fulfill the mission of Christ. What fulfills the mission of Christ isn't even you just raising your hand for salvation, although that's a good start. The Bible says, he that endures to the end is saved. The Bible says, you fulfill my mission, my sacrifice, when you're willing to go through the process that God has set up for you. You fulfill what I wanted whenever you're willing to live for me every single day, when you're ready to devote your life to me. Amen. Why don't we all bow our heads this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.